Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an analysis of the political wins and losses for the president following his decision yesterday to support same-sex marriage. Steve Clements, the Washington editor-at-large for The Atlantic and editor-in-chief of Atlantic Live, joins us to discuss how this will affect Obama's chances in the swing states, 7 out of 9 of which have banned same-sex marriage. Then we'll go to Caracas, Venezuela, and speak with Virginia Lopez, who covers Latin America and Venezuela for the UK's Guardian and Sky TV. We will discuss the long absence of President Hugo Chavez, who is undergoing a third round of cancer treatment in Cuba, and the growing instability in a country beset by prison riots and one of the worst crime rates in the world, which may soon have a leadership vacuum without a stable succession that could result in a social explosion. Then finally, we'll speak about the Air Force's disgraceful handling of the F-22 scandal with the designer of two of the U.S.'s most successful warplanes, the F-16 and the A-10. Pierre Spray joins us to analyze what is wrong with the $500 million airplane that pilots refuse to fly because of problems with the oxygen supply and toxic poisoning that is debilitating them as well as the F-22's ground crew. Joining us now is Steve Clements, the Washington editor-at-large for The Atlantic and editor-in-chief of Atlantic Live. He's also senior fellow and founder of the American Security Program at the New America Foundation, and previously served as executive director of the Japan-America Society of Southern California, and co-founded with Chalmers Johnson the Japan Policy Research Institute, of which he is still director. Welcome to Background Briefing, Steve Clements.
Great to be with you, Ian.
And I must say I like the piece that you've written at the Atlantic site about the president's decision yesterday, in part prompted by Vice President Biden's Sunday announcement that now the president is on board with same-sex marriage. Tell me about the political fallout, because it seems to me that this has always been a struggle for the president, a kind of heart and head struggle, that he's always been in favor of gay marriage, but his head or his political advisors have been telling him he'll pay the price at the polls.
Well, you know, it's pretty clear, you know, that it's a divided issue in the country. And this week, North Carolina resoundingly rejected same-sex marriage as a track. They affirmed a constitutional amendment with a 61% vote that said marriage can be defined only as a relationship between a man and a woman. And of course, many people have raised this issue, but guess where the Democratic National Convention is going to be? It's going to be in North Carolina. So to a certain degree, the president has tried, and you know, he expressed this during his interview with ABC, that he had been subscribing to the belief that civil unions would give same-sex couples the same rights that married couples had, and then he came to a different opinion. So that's the jump. The jump is in language because it tweaks many people's self-identity and with religion and faith, and really gets into dangerous territory for him. That being said, as you read in my piece, I was convinced that to some degree the White House probably had pulled this and had, and I'm going to be writing a piece for tomorrow that's showing something that many people haven't looked at, is that attitudes in the African-American community and attitudes among independents have shifted dramatically. And this has not come out yet. Most people believe that African-Americans overwhelmingly oppose same-sex marriage. And that's the latest Wall Street Journal polling and the crosstab show that that's not true.
And of course, that's probably based upon what happened out here in California with Prop 8, which African Americans supported by 58%, and a lot of churches were beating the drum against gay marriage. And I imagine there's a concern because of the majority African American vote in North Carolina. But you're saying that there's been a tidal shift that's gone under the radar.
I believe so, but I don't think it's clear cut. Naturally, I talked to senior White House officials yesterday, and they basically confided that they don't know how the politics are going to cut. They did say that they did confide to me that the president had decided some months ago that he was going to make this statement, and he was going to probably make it in an interview like the one that he did yesterday and sometime before the convention. So that the only thing that really changed for the president was the issue of when, and that got nudged forward by Vice President Biden's comments on Sunday. And, you know, Joe Biden, you know, he's, I tell people, I said, you know, Obama does nothing impulsively. He's kind of like a Russian blue cat, like Chalmers Johnson used to have. Sometimes they love you, sometimes they stay away. But Biden's like a golden retriever. You know, he is just all heart, all emotion, and you know, he really loves the gay community in many ways. I've seen this directly, and I think he just made a very honest expression of where he was, and that honesty and emotional element of Biden's comments created a real quandary for the White House, which began walking Biden's comments back. And it would have looked ridiculous if 2 months from now Obama then came out all of a sudden that now he's for gay marriage and allowed Biden to just sort of sit out on his own.
Well, you mentioned in your piece, Steve Clements, that you were at the ceremony that Biden presided over, the swearing-in of a gay U.S. ambassador to New Zealand, David Huebner. And how Biden had lavishly praised David's husband, Dwayne McWane. So there's no question that Joe Biden's evolved.
Yeah, well, he was maybe evolved before many other folks at senior levels of administration, particularly at the president and vice president level. We have to remember, though, Dick Cheney did define a difference with President Bush on the issue of gay marriage. Dick Cheney, maybe in part informed by his daughter Mary Cheney being a lesbian, said he believed that this matter, you know, rested in the states, and that he opposed a constitutional amendment on marriage. So, you know, there was a moment of bravery, I think, in the Bush administration to some degree. But when you look at what Joe Biden, you know, put out there, and when I saw him, you know, David Huebner is a guy who was from Southern California. In fact, many of your listeners may remember him or know him. He's now our ambassador to New Zealand, and Joe Biden not only swore Ambassador Huebner in and lavished praise on his husband, but he walked up to Frank Kameny, who's a real legend in gay rights advocacy, just died this past year, and there's a whole section in the Smithsonian now of his letters that, you know, he walked up to this very crowded room of hundreds of people and said, now this is a real American hero. So, Joe Biden has been there, and when the Don't Ask, Don't Tell bill was signed, Joe Biden and Mike Mullen was there as well as President Obama, but Joe Biden really came down to meet everyone and connected. The president did as well, but this is a space that Joe Biden has sort of owned and the president has evolved into.
So again, I'm speaking with Steve Clements, the Washington editor-at-large for The Atlantic and editor-in-chief of Atlantic Live. What do you make, though, Steve, of a lot of the punditry that's sort of saying that the subtext for this decision was that the president's having a hard time getting Wall Street money? It's all going to Romney, so he's going after gay money. I mean, they literally have heard that expression, gay money.
I think it's pretty silly. I think the gay money probably would have found its way mostly to Obama, but there's a lot of gay money in Republican circles too. One of the, I think, important points of this, and I think it's, look, there's a very cynical political ploy that may be in play, but nonetheless, it's the way politics works. There is a theory that I have that President Obama, because of being president and having to compromise, as all presidents do when they sit behind an Oval Office desk and need to make compromises on climate change and environmentalism, and you know, he has not made all women's groups satisfied with some of what he was willing to negotiate away in healthcare, that you know, his star dimmed somewhat with some of his most active campaigners and organizers from the last time. And so by basically pledging himself to or endorsing gay marriage, he's picked a meta topic that swims along with these other topics that really matter to the very active progressive left. And to some degree, it forces Romney into a very uncomfortable position. If Romney doesn't come out and give a full-throated opposition to the president's position, then many evangelicals may find themselves very ambivalent and disappointed with Romney. And if he does move, in fact, closer to the evangelicals, he may then alienate independents and pragmatists that don't like to see the evangelical right having such a dominant place in the voice of what they hoped it would be, a guy that was going to fix the economy. So to some degree, Obama's position not only potentially gets people out on the street working for him and fighting for something, it potentially puts a really deep wedge inside the Republican circuit.
Well, I would think that it also, you know, Obama did get 1/4 of the evangelical vote in 2008, and I don't see why he shouldn't go after that vote, and I don't see why every time Obama talks about his own personal religion, I think he is very, very effective, and I don't understand why he allows the religious right to usurp religiosity. And of course they question his faith by these horrible canards that he's a Muslim and without a birth certificate,
right,
etc. So I think he should do more in that regard. But also I think it's also a prerequisite, surely, Steve Clements, to bring the young people back. And he mentioned that in his speech yesterday, that this is a generational thing. You know, the young kids like my daughter's generation, they're over this stuff. It's only old fossils like our generation.
But no, I think that's absolutely right, and I think his statement was very, very well crafted. I think it was sincere, and I think you know, it really did show that he finally came to the decision that civil unions didn't do it, and separate but equal didn't do it, and that's not something he could stand for or wanted to be a part of in the long run. And you know, I give him credit for it.
But as a political observer, Steve Clements, surely the front page of the New York Times has a very sobering graph of all of the states that have passed gay marriage amendments to ban gay marriage. They're all the swing states. I mean, almost without exception.
No, there's no doubt that this is a roll of the dice, and it could blow the wrong direction. On the other hand, I think it is the president mixing things about being about the economy. While the economy has been disappointing in the way it has come back, nonetheless, it hasn't exactly rolled completely back. We haven't gone back into recession. And so he's you know, as we've talked about before, he went after bin Laden, got him. It's a package of things. Voters are not single-voter people, but he is basically checking off a box for progressives and liberals whose enthusiasm for him has been, as Chalmers Johnson would say, easily restrained.
Well, but I think he's still yet to come up with the big argument. Why should we vote for him? You can't get that much mileage out of killing bin Laden or approving gay marriage. So you agree? Sorry, that was an anticlimax.
I totally agree. I think he's got to have more in the circuit. But yeah, I do think that what he did yesterday was historic, was important. My entire office at The Atlantic was watching that TV show at 3 o'clock on ABC when they aired it, and it had a feeling of being a pivotal shift to hear an incumbent president of the United States to say those words. And it's risky, and I think that Obama gets credit for taking the right risks. We'll have to see how many other Americans play this out, but I stand by my theory that it gives the left something to be for, at least in part, and it puts Romney in an uncomfortable position with his base.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Steve Clements.
My pleasure, Ian, anytime.
Again, I've been speaking with Steve Clements, the Washington editor-at-large for The Atlantic and editor-in-chief of Atlantic Live. He's also a senior fellow and founder of the New American Foundation's American Security Program and previously served as executive director of the Japan-American Society of Southern California and co-founded with Chalmers Johnson the Japan Policy Research Institute, of which he's still director. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll go to Caracas, Venezuela to get an update on Hugo Chavez's health and the prison riots going on in Venezuela.
Breaks the machine, everything's half a dream. How can